following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
906, here's a question for you. Which two teams do you think are going to be in the Super Bowl? I have no idea. I mean, you would pretty much have to put a gun to my head to come up with that answer. As I look at the NFC, you look at the teams with the first round bye. You look at Seattle and Carolina. You would expect one of those two to be the favorites. San Francisco might go in and beat Carolina. I hope not. I hope they get the snot kicked out of them, to be honest with you. And I don't usually think that way. That usually is not how I look at it. I mean, they beat us. I want them to be the best because then we lost to the best. Not this time. I have a feeling, though, they can go into Carolina and do that. And I think New Orleans can go into Seattle and win. I think the fields in both conferences are very, very close. Jason says they're close as being as hated as the Vikings and creeping up on the Bears. Well, but see, it's a separate category because it's a transitional thing. In the 90s, I hated the Cowboys more than either of those teams. And right now, I think in that transitional sense, with yesterday's loss, they have, this is right where the Packers are. With the San Francisco, with the Harbaugh 49ers, they are right where they were with the Cowboys of the 90s. It's a team they cannot get past. The most disappointing one was 1996, the year they would go on to win the Super Bowl, and they couldn't beat them in the regular season. Now, they pretty much had no wide receivers at that point. Antonio Freeman was still out, and they hadn't picked up Andre Rison yet. And all those stupid field goals in that game. It was a Monday night game, I believe. It's just very frustrating. They just can't get past them. And it is getting frustrating. By the way, wherever you are listening, it is likely extremely cold. So do be careful out there. Don't spend any more time outside than you absolutely have to. And there are parts of the country where it's even colder than we have right now. Northern Minnesota, absolutely frigid. 30-some below actual temperature. In much of Wisconsin, 35, 45, even 50 below wind chills. Not unheard of. I noticed it getting out of the car today. I have a garage at home. I got out, and I have my stuff in the passenger side front seat, my laptop case and all that, and I went around to get it, and it just ended up, I'm trying to get everything so I can get right to the door with my keys out. In that time, I mean, it really hit my face, even through the pants I'm wearing. It was brutal. By the way, those of you who missed, I've already gone on a global warming diatribe, so I'm not going to be doing that again, but it is laughable. Okay, maybe I'll do a 30-second one. It is just laughable that they continue to try to persist in this charade when clearly there hasn't been global warming for 15 years. It's as though we'll never be able to win this debate because no matter how much evidence to the contrary, they'll just stay with it. They will just persist. Last fall, Dorothy Rabinowitz in the Wall Street Journal quoted a 1967 movie, A Guide for the Married Man. And she refers to a scene. Now, she was talking about what a charade the Obama administration is. She was referring to a scene where Walter Matthau is in bed with another woman. He's married. His wife catches him, and he just keeps pretending the woman's not there. What woman? What woman? As the other woman gets dressed and leaves. By the end of the scene, his wife is apologizing for falsely accusing him. That's what the global warming debate is like. All evidence to the contrary is just, well, what? What pause? What do you mean there hasn't been global warming for 15 years? What polar vortex? Which sounds like a weapon out of a Star Trek movie, by the way. It does. Deploy the polar vortex. Or maybe Star Wars. More like Star Wars, that sounds like. Yeah. Well, it's been deployed, and it's cold as hell! But no. They just, the Walter Matthau scene is perfect. What woman? What woman? Now, it seemed ludicrous back in 1967 that anybody would fall for that. Much of the world has fallen for it over the last 20 years. Here's another piece of science that was very heavily debated. Secondhand smoke. I will tell you that I am very conflicted on this. Rush Limbaugh and other conservative talk show hosts are convinced that research on the dangers of secondhand smoke are every bit as bogus as global warming. I don't know that I'm prepared to go quite that far. I do know this. It's annoying to be around other smokers. And while I opposed bans, and I continue to oppose bans, I do like going into smoke-free bars. Now, you might be prepared to play the hypocrite card. No. I would love it if establishments had the free market choice. And that was one of the things I was disappointed when Scott Walker reneged, Governor Walker reneged, and did not pursue repealing the statewide ban on smoking in public places. Because I was curious, here's why. I was curious to see how many businesses would stay smoke-free, given the free market choice. I was curious as to how many would stay smoke-free. We'll never find that out now. I think a lot of them would. I don't know if it's 50%, but I think a lot of them would. It should have been a free market choice. Didn't happen. Here's why I bring this up. State Senator Glenn Grothman has a proposal. He wants to exempt e-cigarettes from the statewide smoking ban in restaurants, bars, and other places. It would exempt those everybody knows what an e-cigarette is, don't they? Do I have to explain that? I would think most people do at this point, that they know what an e-cigarette is. It is an electronic cigarette where you ingest vapor, inhale vapor. It's a nicotine fix the same way a tobacco cigarette is, but it's not a tobacco cigarette. It's an electronic device. It's almost like a mini electronic hookah in a weird way. It's kind of what it's like. And there are refillable ones, there are disposable ones, and so on. But they use a vapor. You do not burn tobacco, you do not fill your lungs with smoke, and you do not expel smoke around anybody else. In fact, its biggest selling point is that it's a great way to transition from the much more dangerous tobacco cigarette where you do inhale and fill your lungs with smoke. It is seen as a way to continue to get that nicotine fix in a much safer way, and perhaps, more importantly, it doesn't pose a risk to those around you. However, the anti-smoking crowd thinks these should be treated as a tobacco cigarette, even though they don't have the same function or the same consequences as a tobacco cigarette. So Glenn Grothman, West Bend Senator, who I usually agree with, and I strongly agree with him on this, says he's put forward a bill, and I like the way that he said this, because he was concerned busybody public health officials and interest groups would attempt to limit the use of e-cigarettes. In fact, New York City recently did include e-cigarettes in its smoking ban, and he's afraid it could happen here. By the way, there are a number of legislative leaders that back Glenn on this. However, the American Heart Association, the American Cancer Society, and Health First Wisconsin all oppose it. They are treating e-cigarettes exactly the same way as they're treating it like a tobacco cigarette where you burn tobacco. But here's the big thing. Here's their argument. We don't know how dangerous e-cigarettes really are to the user. Okay, they're new. That's true. But what was the intent of smoking bans in the first place? What was the intent? Why did we ban smoking in just about every public place that you can think of? Secondhand smoke. This was not intended for the safety of the smoker. Public smoking bans were intended for the safety of those around the smoker. those innocent victims who would inhale, I say ingest, that's not really right, inhale the smoke. That was the point. Wow. Non-smoking sections don't work because the smoke doesn't know how to stay in the non-smoking section. By the way, I recognize that. I think it should be a free market choice, but I am conflicted as to whether secondhand smoke is as dangerous as they claim it was. I just don't know. But it's really irrelevant to this argument because even if it is, even if secondhand smoke is as dangerous as some studies have suggested, e-cigarettes have nothing to do with that. And if a smoking ban was designed to protect you, your lungs, your children, their lungs, everybody's lungs, except the smokers, and that was supposed to be the intent, they claim, then e-cigarettes should be exempt. But the very same do-gooders who have made smokers pariahs are treating this exactly the same way. And a lot of smokers will tell you they would rather inhale this vapor than smoke. And in fact, a spokeswoman for Health First said those who want to quit smoking should use proven methods of doing so. E-cigarettes are not smoking cessation devices, and she questioned the ability to help people quit. Mimicking smoking in public is probably not getting you closer to quitting. So what? Mind your own damn business. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. But what it doesn't do is put secondhand smoke in the air, which was the whole point behind statewide smoking bans. What's driving them crazy is they're afraid that, well, if we allow this, people are going to get comfortable with tobacco cigarettes. You know what they've done? They've made tobacco cigarette smoking, I use the word pariah. They have pretty much made it completely societally unacceptable. They are afraid that e-cigarettes will change that, that smoking will become fashionable again. And let's face it, it was for many, many years, and they've ended that. They can't stand the thought that smoking would become fashionable again. So they want to ban something that there's no public health reason for banning. If you have any thoughts on this, I will entertain them. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. It's 919.
For all things Jerry Bader, jerrybadershow.com.